Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, international award-winning filmmaker Emmanuel Etienne.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Daryl Leonard. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been so looking forward to this interview, I don't know, maybe for like 10 years. Ever since Femme came out, actually, so that wasn't 10 years ago, but nonetheless, it's been a long time since I've known Emmanuel Etienne, and since we actually worked on some things together, and I was fascinated with what he was doing, with an understanding also that he hadn't had formal education in what he was doing, and yet there are people out there that have formal education and don't do half of what he was doing. So I'm excited about having him share how and why and all of that. And what he is directing, what he is producing through his company and with other producers, et cetera, he has a message that he's sharing, a message that he has inside of himself, and he does it through the whole. If you look at his films, he does it through every film, from what I've seen at least. And it reminded me of a friend of mine. I don't remember, maybe it was a couple of months ago. So this friend of mine, he's a songwriter. He's a very good songwriter. He gets his song out there. Some people sing his songs. He's very connected in the industry. And he said to me, after he had made a post about a current political situation a few months ago, he said people are really nasty to him on Facebook, and he doesn't understand why people are like that, and he has to get his message heard. Don't you agree, Filippo? And I said, I agree. You got to get your message heard if that's what you've come here to do. And I also agree that the best way that you already get your message heard is through the songs that you write and through the songs that a lot of people are singing. And he said, you're right, Filippo, you're right. So what does he do? As months go by, he gets more upset with the political situation and starts to write more things on Facebook and gets more people saying not so nice things about him until the point where he actually becomes threatened by certain people. And the phone stops ringing because the people in the music industry aren't calling him anymore. And he then takes himself completely off of Facebook and is literally scared and calls me and says, Filippo, what am I supposed to do? And then tells me about this situation where he hasn't gotten any jobs in the past month and nobody. And he said, the people that I've worked with so long are the ones making these threats and saying all these terrible things to me. I have to say what I feel. And I said, what is it that you say in your songs? He said, what I feel. I said, are you not expressing yourself, changing the world through your songs? He said, yes, except now I can't, nobody wants to buy my songs anymore. And I said, so you're telling me because you wanted to express yourself in this medium, Facebook, you've chosen to cut off the one thing that was bringing you joy, that got your message out in a way that people actually enjoyed sharing it. And he said, you're right, I did. And now what do I do? I said, well, why don't you go on Facebook, back on Facebook, and just take down the things that you wrote? And he said, but then that would be admitting that I don't believe that. And I said, it's not admitting anything. Your audience, the people you're trying to connect with, are not necessarily the ones talking to you on Facebook and making life miserable. Your audience are the people that listen to your songs. Your audience are the millions of people that actually are buying your songs. And so say it through your songs. That is your medium. And our guest today says it through his films. And I can't wait to talk about that further with him, our guest being Emmanuel Etienne, and then talk about saying it through your songs. We have Daryl Leonard as our musical guest, trumpetist and composer, live on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio sitting here with Mark Lejour. And in many ways, Mark, thank you and thank Dorothy and Brent and BBS because we have a medium where we share things in such a positive way here.
Yeah, that's been the fun part about learning together is to the challenge of taking even the toughest topics and finding the gift in them or trying to shine a light on them as opposed to just, you know, the same old battle or argument.
Yeah, we know the negative stuff exists.
Right, exactly. There's plenty of that. In fact, maybe your friend can go back and post one of his songs after every one of those other things he wrote.
Absolutely. True. Are you listening? Absolutely. So thank you for that. And it's a story that so many of us are experiencing in our lives. People fighting people, our families fighting our families. And our guest is making peace one movie at a time. He is an international award-winning feature film producer. You may have heard of Femme, We the People, or The Cure. Actually, those last two, if you haven't heard of them, you will. And he is Emmanuel ETA. Welcome to the show, Emmanuel.
Thank you so much, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. I'm very glad to be here, absolutely.
It's great to have you here. And before we start, in a sense, the tables are turned because not only as a journalist, you interview people, but your films, you interview all the people in your films and all your films, actually. How does it feel to have this turned around on you?
Oh, you are a little bit, you know, scared, and especially by the type of question you might ask and the truth you might expect from me, you know. But I just say, go for it, shoot me. No, it's nice. It's nice to be able to share what you learn from all of these visionaries. Amazing mind. I mean, for the last 10 years, I've been traveling the world, meeting the likes of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, to Desmond Tutu, to Nobel Peace Laureates, to Sharon Stone, to so many, Michael Beckwith, Deepak Chopra. So it was, for me, a crash course about life. It was the education I never got, because I barely completed high school, and here I am flying to America at the age of 20 and trying to figure out my life. So these movies were and are still a great way to learn about myself, about humanity, about life.
Actually, a great way for so many people to hear different points of view, actually, that they might not hear if it's not for filmmakers like you sharing in the way that you do. But before we get to the actual films and the message and all that stuff, your love affair with films started at a very young age.
15.
You're 15.
I'm possessed since age 15.
So you're possessed.
I'm French. What do you expect? You
drama. Dramatic. Okay. So what happened at 15 that started you
on
this path?
Well, that year, we were living in Nice with my parents, and I made my way through to the Cannes Film Festival. I was able to crash in at a screening of Birdie, which was a movie with Matthew Modine, Nicolas Cage, directed by Alan Parker. And that movie had a huge, huge impact on me. And I didn't even knew it had such a huge impact until the next day when I was in a class of math. And while I was watching the teacher making some demonstration on the blackboard, my brain, for some twisted reason, turned that into a poem. And that night...
You mean math? Numbers on the...
Yeah, there were numbers, but... and for some reason I turned that into a poem.
Okay.
And the poem was, it was an existentialist poem about who am I, qui suis-je? It was called The Cage. And to make it short, that same night I dreamt the poem in very strong images. And, you know, I'm part of a generation that was mainly raised in front of TV because my parents was lower middle class or middle class, and we don't have money for a nanny. So my mom would put me in front of TV, which was booming at the time. That was the late 70s, mid 70s. And a lot of my generation, I'm 52, was raised in front of TV and with TV shows. So I had, for some reason, developed a way to see the world already without me knowing it totally in images, in sequences. In frame. And that night I dream the poem into a as if it was a short that I could really watch in my brain. And in the morning, I really had that urge to make it into a real short, a real movie. So I went back to school, talked to my friend, and I said, guys, it's Tuesday or Wednesday. This weekend, we are making a movie, you and I. And they're like, you're fucking nuts. I'm like, no, I'm not nuts. Or maybe I'm nuts, but there's a method to my madness. And let me explain what I saw and how we're going to do it. So we've managed to get one of these big, bulky camera. You know, at that time, the camera were huge. Video was there, but it was the beginning. And we found an apartment, and we all got drunk, and we shot my first short, which was called The Cage. And I'd be glad to post it on your... It's rated PG-13, I think, kind of. You know,
you think kind of. Okay. Yeah, well, I'd like to see it, but
PG-15.
PG-15, maybe. Yeah.
I like that. And we all got drunk, and then we made a movie. So I somehow that translates into. I hope that doesn't translate into how you're making the movies now, or maybe it does.
Well, I don't know. I'm about to make a movie about Bukowski. I guess I'm gonna have to channel Bukowski and do a lot of drinking. You know.
So you decided then and there, were you going to come to America?
No. Then it was a long process. I mean, kind of long. So I was 15. I showed that movie to my parents. My dad was a doctor, my mom a teacher. So they were quite horrified, but not desperate. And they made me promise that I will finish high school, which took me twice the amount of time that a normal human being would do, because from there on, I went on to mainly direct shorts, and I was spending every single hours I could in theaters studying movies.
Wow.
You know, for some reason, I've never been somebody that can be sitting quietly and focused in a classroom. So I knew that film school wasn't for me, that academic typical learning wasn't for me. I'm kind of a holy punk. I need to wander the world and learn on the go.
If only YouTube was available back then.
That would have been amazing. You know, totally. It wouldn't have taken me 30 years, you know, which it took me to become, I think, an okay filmmaker. I think now I'm okay. But it took me a long time because we didn't have probably the internet. And sometimes maybe I would have become an addict of the internet, like most of our kids. That's another debate. Who knows? But to make it short, then I came to America a few years after, and on the way back, I had a flash on this flight attendant who was pushing on lovely cart, and we got married the following year.
You fell in love.
Or in lust, you know, the French thing in me, who knows. You know, I always try to dramatize, you know, the stories of my life, because they are laughable, but sometimes they are a little bit sad. And trust me, when I moved to America, it was very tough.
Actually, yes, your story of moving to America was really interesting, what you shared about your first experience of Hollywood and the agencies and all of that. So when we come back, we definitely want to go there. And a little later on, we're going to be talking about Femme, of course, which is how we got to know each other, and the films coming up, like We the People, The Cure, and actually all of them coming out, including Invocation and Shamanic Trekker. We'll talk about that when we come back with our guest, Emmanuel Etier. And later on, I haven't mentioned this, actually, I should say, Grammy Award winner, along with several other awards, Daryl Leonard is here with two of his musical colleagues to provide live music here at Studio NoHo, all on the Life Changes show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, this is Michaela. So I'm here to tell you about the DNA Institute. If you haven't heard of it already, I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute treatment not only helped me lose the 30 pounds, it also rebalanced my hormones, healed my metabolic and digestive system, and made my higher functioning brain so loud it became impossible to overeat when I was full. Don't we all want that? So many of my friends and family turned to the Institute after they saw my success. All of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I found this to be so different than anything I'd ever tried before, and it was easier than anything I'd ever done. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a genuine, doctor-prescribed, custom medical treatment made just for you. It doesn't matter what your situation is or how much weight you have to lose. I believe the Institute will get you to your goal. My experience is that this is more than just a weight loss system. It's a biohack to a better way of looking, feeling, and living. When I started, I had never heard of the DNA Institute, but the fact that they've been in Beverly Hills since 1982 gave me a real peace of mind. Now that you've heard of them, click on the DNA ad at lifechangesshow.com and get your customized formula started today. Change your life like I changed mine.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, filmmaker, producer, director, Emmanuel ETA. And so, Emmanuel, tell us of this magical moment where you landed in Hollywood. Actually, it was July 4th, your independence, our independence.
Yes.
America's independence.
I arrived on July 4th, 1988, and it was for a split second, a firework of total happiness, magic, and everything. And then the next day, I asked my wife to drive me to Hollywood Boulevard, you know, which
of
I thought was the heart of everything. And
the walk
and
of the stars.
I was expecting, you know, Stallone and Harrison Ford to
just there
welcome me.
To greet you.
and meeting Spielberg and get my first job. And of course, you know, I'm that naive idiot of 20 years old. And I arrived to Hollywood, and I remember I exploded in tears because at that time, Hollywood was a disgusting place. It was full of Hells Angels and prostitutes and junkies and of despair. You know, it had been abandoned, basically, a little bit like Manhattan was in the same time, you know. So it was depressing because I'm like, wow, what am I going to do here, you know, and how? So I cry, you know. And it's funny, I mean, how it changed, because now it's like Disneyland over there, you know. You've got Disney, you've got the tourists, you've got the Scientologists. I mean, it's a circus, you know.
And you have the characters that you were hoping would, they're there in costume.
The superheroes, all fake and in costumes, absolutely.
And the years following that weren't that much fun.
Well, no, it was tough. I mean, first, obviously, I had to learn the language because I didn't think totally about that. I was, again, naively thinking, yeah, I'm a French guy. I'm a French director.
Oh, we love French directors.
No,
absolutely.
I mean, sadly, I think French directors are still seen a little bit as a cliche, you know, too much as artist, too much as bohemian, and not enough as commercial people of structure being able to deliver strong stories, you know. That has changed. Thank God we had Luc Besson in part. But it was really tough. Way back, Luc was mainly working in France, so he wasn't even respected in the US. So it was really tough, and I took any job I could find, you know, from being a waiter to a French teacher to be a runner at a creative artist agency, CA, that's really where I started, you know, delivering script to Madonna and Farrah Fawcett and Warren Beatty.
Literally?
And, yeah, it was interesting, and at some time it's sad because you're so close, but you cannot jump forward.
You're close, but you're not in. And when you
meet these people, you say, well, really, I would love to direct, and they look at you, yeah, right, just be a runner. Mm. You're good at what you do, and that's it. It's sad how you realize that a lot of limitation in our lives come from the sad fact that people are trying always to put us in a box and keep us there instead of allowing us to grow and imagine our life in multi layers of possibilities.
Have you done a film about that yet?
Well, all of my films are about that.
Oh,
about really having to lift up the veil of the possibilities and giving you all the chances you can to really transform your life and be the change you want to see in the world, like Gandhi was saying.
You know, sometimes, though, I like to say to people, you never know what this moment can be if you're open to it. And actually, it was through one of your jobs that you actually started to make the connections. Actually, you became a journalist through teaching French.
Yeah, it was like the journalists, actually teaching and journalists were different. The teaching French allowed me to meet a lot of producers, a lot of directors, and that built my network a little bit, if you want, of connection. But the journalists came out of the blue when a friend of mine call me in the middle of the night when I had just been here for a year or two and said that a French magazine wanted a foreign correspondent. So I immediately called them and BS'd my way through the process. And they said, okay, fine, here's a job. Just start writing. I think the first writing was a critique of Pearl Rider with Clint Eastwood.
With Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, that was 1990, something like this, or 1991. And then my first ever interview was with Mike Myers in San Francisco on the set of So I Married an Axe Murderer. That was the title.
Mike Myers was your first.
And it was fantastic. And what? But it was fantastic because also it was, he is such a warm soul, you know, and he was so welcoming. And, you know, I was honest. I said, you know, I'm a little bit shy and unsure of myself because this is my first interview. And on the contrary, he really said, hey, don't worry. Let's sit down. Let's have a conversation like two friends.
And so now recently I've seen you with Jennifer Gardner and all these people. And I'm like, look, you're an old pro.
Now I'm a star. Kneel down, Filippo. Kiss my hand.
Well, the interesting thing is as interesting as that can be to a lot of people, and potentially to you, your focus is all of these other people that you mentioned who are out there saying things that are changing the world.
That's exactly right. One of my mission in life is to try to collect the best thoughts out there, and there are so many, to see how as a humanity, as one, we can truly change each other and the world. And that's doable. I mean, all our movies are highly unitive, highly inclusive. You know, they are all message of hope, of tolerance, of let's get together and let's get to work. And they are not at all what we see going on, especially right now in the U.S., where there's too much of a language of hate, of separation, of rising each other against each other. And that doesn't work. And that will never work because whether we want it or not, even if we don't like each other, we are the customers of each other. Mm. What goes around comes around. You succeed, I succeed. Mm. You fail, I fail. And that's it. It's mathematical logic, you know. Mm. People call it karma. I just say the logic of life. That's it.
And I don't know if you knew this when you started, but obviously now you know it because you've created a collection called, is it the Oneness Collection?
The Oneness Collection.
And it started with what film?
Well, it started with 10 years ago, The Invocation. At that time, the movie was called Looking for God. And I was truly, truly looking for God.
For yourself.
But not necessarily the God people have an image of, the dude in the cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, I was
the
really
dude in the cloud. Nice.
I was really questioning, what is God? Because I never had a religion. I still don't have a religion. I don't have a race. I've got that stupid French accent. That's all I have to define me.
The is that what that is? Is that a French
what that is? Hey, people, you didn't know? Here's the truth about Emmanuel. He's French. Run away,
no,
please.
No, we love the French.
Hide you ladies.
Hide anyway. Your ladies.
So it all started when I was driving my beat-up BMW down to L.A. because I live in Santa Barbara for one more pitching of a dumb horror movie. And at that time, 10 years ago, my first son, actually 12 years ago, my first son was born, Felix. And I wanted for him to do a movie about my philosophy of life. And I'm somebody that, and nobody knows that, but has been always involved with a lot of charities, with Lions Club. Now I'm involved with the Rotary Club. I'm a Freemason. So I'm always been questioning how can we better society? How can we better ourselves and the world? So I wanted to talk about that in a movie, and I thought documentaries are great because they are a true political platform in the sense of politics for the people, for a filmmaker. And so as I was driving down, the top of my car was down, the sun was blasting in my eyes, I was listening to the Ramones, I think China is a punk rocker or something crazy like that,
okay.
And suddenly I swore to the universe. I did the four-letter word, and I immediately saw the movie. It's like, okay, Emmanuel, that's it. That's your problem. You're going to talk about God, looking for God. And the reason it became The Invocation is because I was scared of the word God, and I'm still scared of that word because I think people don't get it. They don't understand that God is all and all is God. Therefore, there is no definition of God.
Mm.
So it's not a dude in the cloud. It's not love. It's all of the above.
Mm.
You know, and actually when supposedly Abraham asked God to define itself, it says, because I always love when people say he, or what will it be, a he more than she? So it says, it said, I am what I am, I am. And for me, that's God. It's a notion of the existence. Mm. And when I looked for the origin of the word God, I found out that it actually came from a Pan-Germano verb, which is to invoke.
Oh.
To invoke, to wake up, to summon, to reach out to each other, which is, if you think about it, the image you have of God. Look at the image in the Sistine Chapel of supposedly God and Abraham joining fingers,
right.
You know, touching each other's fingers.
Yeah.
We all have that images. Mm-hmm. So it's about the invocation. It's about the awakening of our soul, of our breath. And by the way, breath is the word behind spirit. Spirit is spiritus, which means breath.
Mm.
So it's interesting how all these words have a very, very practical meaning. And it's sad that religion, and especially some religious men, have really prostituted these words and distorted them from their original meaning and turned them into some really voodoo, paranormal interpretation of what it is not. You know, the word faith, for example, we all have faith. Because faith comes from fidere, which means to trust. And we all trust ourselves. Because if not, we wouldn't be even here in this studio. Mm. And we all trust each other. Because same thing, we wouldn't be here to debate about this great question. So I think that's what I do with my movies. I try to study and reconnect, like, you know, we the people, a re-evolution of economics and politics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is economic? What is politic? Well, we went and we studied the words. And we went back and tried to figure out, are we doing economics today? Are we doing politics today? Is anybody doing that? Maybe not. I see it more like gangsterism, for example. So that's what I do, and that's how I do it.
So back to the invocation, and now we know why you chose that name. Why did you choose Sharon Stone? Because she was a part of it from the beginning.
So at the same time, maybe because I'm that crazy, I heard a voice in my head as the voice of God. I thought, I'm going to need a narrator, and for some reason, I heard the voice of Sharon Stone.
Oh, really?
And truly, I wasn't a fan. I had no specific fetish about her, which I could have had as a young man, you know. But basic instinct and all that, after all, she's a sexual symbol, but much more than that. But she was when I grew up, and that's how we young idiots could see her. But anyway, that's who I heard in my head.
Wow.
So I reached out to a friend of mine. Her name is Nathalie Dubois, and I want to thank her again. I never thank her enough. And she's an associate producer in all the movies. I always thank her for that. And I reached out to her, and I said, listen, I'm doing a movie about God. And for some reason, I really would like to try to reach out to Sharon Stone, because that's a voice I've got in my head, and I cannot remove it from my head. You know, I played with other names in my head and voices, and it doesn't work. So she said, well, you know, I know a partner, and I'm going to introduce you to her, and good luck. So that's what happened. The connection was made, and it took obviously much more work. You know, the partner went away. Nathalie and Sean were not so much in good terms at a while. So I was left alone, and I wasn't even in connection directly with Sean. But miracle do happen, and by the way, miracle also is not a religious term. It means object of wonders. So that's it. And wonder is not a religious term. It's just something wonderful that you cannot explain.
And by the way, it's the name of your one of your production Wonderland, companies,
exactly.
Wonderland Entertainment Group.
Absolutely. Yeah. So to make it short, there is something magic that happened. At that time, I had the address of Sharon because I had sent DVD. Remember, 10 years ago, the internet wasn't that great, so we couldn't send huge file. So I would send to her address physical DVDs. And eventually, I would get an answer back through the internet, through like the generic email of Sharon Stone from her assistant, a word that, you know, she saw what you're doing. It's not that great, but keep going. The door wasn't open. The door wasn't closed. It was in between.
Mm.
But still, for me, it was a huge support because she's a huge voice. And it was amazing spiritually and emotionally to have that emotional support to keep going and think, maybe I'm going to convince her. Well, what happened is one day I go to listen a great debate between two amazing men. One is in my movie. His name is David Wolpe. He's a lead rabbi at Sinai Temple in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, and Christopher Hutchison, who was a huge atheist, and they were battling on stage about the notion of God. And who comes sit just in front of me? Sharon Stone.
Oh, wow.
And she doesn't know that, but I was peeing in my pants the entire debate. Not so much because she's Sharon Stone and she was sitting in me in front of me, which is just there for me intimidating, but it was more the fear of not being able to connect, and she's right there.
Interesting.
But at the same time, you don't want to jump on her.
Interesting.
And on top of that, she arrived just when the debate started, so you cannot even say, hey, hello. You have to wait. I waited an hour and a half. And then everybody jumped on her.
Oh, wow.
So I kept waiting. And by the way, what I forgot to mention is I had a plane to catch at 10 p.m. that time at LAX. And that was on Wilshire at the Saban Theater, taking place there.
Wow.
And I knew I had a very short window. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, I've got 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. And there was a super short window where finally, for 2 seconds, there were nobody around her.
I am so Emmanuel ETA.
Finally, I reached out very softly. I was scared to turn around and slap me because I scared her. And huge smile, beautiful smile. And he said, yes. And I'm like, I am Emmanuel ETA. And she smiled and said, oh, yes, I know who you are.
Wow.
And that was great, because at least from that day on, we were connected directly. And then it took me another 6 months to, by the way, I made my plane.
Made your plane. Okay.
Yeah, because after that, I rushed and I made it.
And it took one year
to convince her to come on board. And we've been doing amazing movie for the last 10 years.
For the last 10 years, including the last two that are coming out now that we'll talk about as soon as we get back with Emmanuel ETA. I wish we had more time for those great stories, and I know you have many of them with all the people coincidences, miracles. Objects of wonder, you said? Mm-hmm. Objects of wonders. All right. So more with Emmanuel ETA when we come back. And a little later on, live music in the studio with Daryl Leonard. And joining us in the next segment also will be our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, with her Ask Dorothy segment, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark. And of course, our guest is Emmanuel ETA. We've called this Making Peace One Movie at a Time. We're going to talk about those movies in just a moment. But I do want to call you. I mentioned Wonderland Entertainment Group. And if you want to learn more about them, actually, you could find out about the films that we're going to talk about here in just a moment at Wonderland, just like it sounds, ENT for entertainment and group, WonderlandENTGroup.com. And Emmanuel, so that was the invocation you started talking about. And then I met you through Femme, and interestingly enough, thanks to my friend Lee Waterworth, who you invited to one of your screenings. He couldn't go. He said, "This is very life changes-y," and boy, was he right. Do you want to go? And I said, "Of course I want to go. I want to meet this man." And then I also got to meet Helen Cardona and several other people. Now, Helen's been on our show, and you are finally here.
Yes.
So tell
us. It's a small, small world.
and wonderful at that. Tell us real quickly, we have We the People coming out on November 2nd.
Yeah, so basically from Invocation came Femme, came Shamanic Tracker, and now We the People on November 2nd, mm-hmm. and on December 5th, The Cure. And they are both released by an amazing company called Freestyle Digital Media. And they took a big chance with me to bring out these movies in all over the US and Canada on every possible thinkable digital platform,
wow.
from iTunes to Amazon to Google,
wow.
to Vudu, but also on demand. So it's going to be everywhere. And at the same time, they are re-releasing The Invocation, Femme, and Shamanic Tracker. So I'm very thankful to a genius. His name is Byron Allen, who created Freestyle, and who actually bought Freestyle, who created Entertainment Studio. And two of his executives, Chris and Dan, who truly gave me a chance and were here to promote these movies.
And now we understand why it's called the Oneness Collection, at least, you know, the evolution of it. What is the message you feel is the underlying through all the films?
Well, the message is to make you realize you're an incredible force. You are a wonderful genius who has been kept sometime locked into a box. And that's enough. We need, I think that's a great challenge of the 21st century. We need to free the mind. We need to tell people, no, you are not to be contained in a box, as God is not being able to be contained in a box.
Or in a word.
Or in a word. Absolutely. Or in a definition.
Yeah.
We are all of the above. We are multitasker. You know, same thing, the cliche, men are not multitasker, but women are. No, all of us. We are amazing geniuses. And guess what? We are unique geniuses, which means competition doesn't exist. It's all about partnership. What you're doing, I cannot do it. And what I do, you cannot do it. So there's no way to argue, no way to compete. It's all about partnership and reorganizing, restructuring our perfect world with all these 7 billion geniuses to solve pandemic, to solve war, to solve misery, because these are physical, silly problems. And we have all these resources, all these energies, all these monies, and they make us believe we cannot solve it. These government who are just geared at killing each other, at raping us with their taxes, and two-thirds is going to defense. What nonsense is that? So enough of lies, enough of taking us for granted. We the people are in re-evolution, and we're here to stay and thrive.
And actually, The Cure is about healing. Femme is about women taking
Well, it's
ownership.
About the balance of energy and masculine. And if you look at our world, we've been the victim of this ultra-patriarchal, macho-dominant system.
Yeah.
And that needs to cease. You know, we need to bring back the feminine within us men. We are the victim too. You know, when you are given a gun toy at age 4 as a little boy and you are told, go and have fun, what fracture does that create in your soul?
Wow.
What complex of Superman does that create? It's horrible. Mm. And that's why we have so many dysfunctional male today who snap.
Well, and on top of that, they have guns. Do the same thing as well.
And violence from the video game. Yeah. I mean, my son are addicted to Fortnite. They cannot stop shooting each other. That's awful. We're not made for that. Mm. We're made for three words. I love you. That's it.
Mm.
Three words and the world is. Three other words and the world is gone.
Mm. Thank you, Emmanuel Edier.
Hi, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
You see how
so
we trigger
much.
Each other's genesis?
We do.
That mental ping pong?
We need to do more of this.
We need to.
Okay.
Wake up, people. Unite. Come on. You can do it. Vote on November 6th and watch We the People on November 2nd.
And The Cure on December 5th. And then when they come out, Invocation, Femme, and Shamanic Tracker, what a
Have
pleasure.
Have an overdose of the Frenchman. It's all good, the doctor says.
Emmanuel Etier, what a pleasure. And remember, you can learn more about him. Of course, he's all over IMDb, et cetera. But WonderlandEntGroup.com. Whew. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment. Mark?
Dear Dorothy, My name is Valerie, and I have come to Los Angeles from Texas. Like everyone I know, my goal is to be happy, loved, and fulfilled. However, I often feel very disconnected from most people, as if I was dropped onto this earth from another planet. Even though I feel so disconnected from most people, I know in my heart that I am meant to be here on earth at this time to help and support and assist women in becoming equal with men. I want to do this by producing movies that inspire and uplift humanity, and I want to work as a producer in the movie industry. I want to make people feel. I want to bring men and women together, and I want to inspire them the way that great filmmakers inspired me. I'm so passionate about making a difference through movies because of the difference they made in my life. Do you believe it is possible for me to succeed in the movie industry?
My dear Valerie, I understand your feelings of disconnection, as you are what we call starseed. There are millions of us all over the planet, and we all volunteered to be here at this time of planetary transformation. For most of my life, like you, it was extremely difficult for me to understand most people. And now I see that the truth is that we are all connected, and I intuit that, just as I have, you volunteered to be here to assist humanity by helping them remember that love is the answer. I do this through my workshops and private sessions. I believe you will do this through creating inspiring and uplifting movies, and that your destiny is assured. Please know that you are not alone, and that there are many in Hollywood who are already doing this, and there is room for more like you. I believe that you will succeed because of your passion. You are well on your way to success, as you have taken the first step and are already working in the movie industry. Your next step is to choose faith, trust, and knowing that you are in the right place at the right time, and that you shall most certainly succeed when you choose to believe that you will.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Wow, I hope she was listening to the show today. And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Daryl Leonard, here on The Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Emmanuel Etie. And joining us in the studio are three wonderful musicians. Let's start with the one who we invited, and thankfully he brought his friends along with him. He is a Grammy and a WC Handy award-winning trumpet player, arranger, and composer. He's Daryl Leonard. Welcome, Daryl, to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for calling.
We are so happy to have you here, too. And we have Armando Campion to thank for connecting us.
My old friend Armando.
Now, he ironically, he's going to be our musical guest next week, and you beat him to it. So what was the Grammy for?
For an album called Shouting in Key with Taj Mahal and the Phantom Blues Band. It was a live best contemporary blues album years ago.
Nice. You were no stranger to working with great musicians like that. When you think of Elton John, Leon Russell, Bonnie Raitt, and I know I can go on and on, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I mean, what was that exposure to you? Like, how did you like? And here I am.
Well, I don't know. I just got out here a long time ago and started working, and you know, one thing led to another. I mean, you know, I showed up and did the right thing, and
you did it well.
And that's kind of what happens if you do, if you work right, I guess.
And you write for movies as well, TV shows, is it as well? And
I worked with T-Bone Burnett on True Detectives. We did that show for a couple of years, and then there's lots of other stuff.
Lots of other stuff. Lots of traveling and all that. And where did this musical journey all start for you?
I was born out in the country, outside of Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Iowa.
A little guy on a farm. And, you know, I had the option. I could have stayed there and driven a tractor and played in polka bands, or maybe not.
So you turned down the polka bands? Now, I didn't know that.
Sometimes I think it might have been a bad idea. But, you know, I've had a good time out here.
And then we were talking about one of your first musical experiences, actually.
Oh, playing with my grandma in
playing
church.
Playing with your grandma in church.
My grandma was a great piano player, played the classic stuff, and could play anything by ear, and could boogie-woogie.
Could boogie-woogie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you played the trumpet in church?
When I was 10 years old, yeah. That was my first gig.
Well, we are happy that you made it out here and made it into our studio. So it's good to have you. And we're going to get to hear something that is still out there in the world, because it's something that you wrote for a play, and then it's in different things in Europe, on TV and what have you. But we'll get to hear it here with your friends and fellow colleagues. We've got Doug Hamblin on guitar.
Right.
And we've got Steve Nelson on bass. And wow, what a trio. I heard the rehearsals and our sound check, and I can't wait to hear it live here right now. Okay. So here we have Daryl Leonard's song In Our Hideaway live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo. Thank you. So much fun. Thank you so much. That's fun to play too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just
very fun.
In the groove and just, yeah. You know, it's interesting. That song is called In Our Hideaway. And I know it was written many years ago, but you all, in a way, play now in a hideaway. And it's you know, what is it called, actually?
Oh, the write-off room.
The write-off room.
In Woodland Hills, yeah.
It's a kept secret that we're about to blow up.
It's a new place. It's been there for about 6 months, and it's a great place where musicians hang. It was put together by a musician named Bill Lynch.
Uh-huh.
And he put it together. He wanted a place where musicians would come and listen to other musicians and play. And
people get up and jam and
a lot of interaction and a lot of new things coming together out there.
That's awesome. There isn't enough of that going around.
Not at all.
It's a change for the Valley in a way, because there hasn't been a lot of places. There used to be, we were talking about this earlier, there used to be a number of places where you would meet, and we all met really in places like that. Mm. And there, as time goes by, there seem to be fewer and fewer of them. Mm. So this has been a kind of a good shot in the arm for this part of LA and Valley musicians.
Ah, that's great.
It gives us a place to go. And
that's Doug Hamblin, who's sharing that message on guitar, and then Steve Nelson's on bass, and of course our musical guest Daryl Leonard on trumpet. Daryl, this next song. I don't mean to be laughing, but
you have to.
When I say this is the longest title I have personally ever heard, I really think it is. Where did this title come from?
Well,
for you,
one of the lies that I like to tell is that Stephen Foster came to me in a dream one night and gave me this song and the title. Which is Dear Old Folks Way Back Home Down South. Oh, I got it wrong. Dear Old Folks Way Down South Back Home in the Moonlight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because you got it wrong, I wrote it wrong. So it's not way back home, it's way down.
Dear Old Folks Way Down South Back Home in the Moonlight.
Okay.
Picture it.
So I'm trying to picture Stephen Foster saying this title is the one that everybody is going to remember.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's when everybody just pops right off the tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, that is so much fun. Thank you.
It's easier to play than to sing.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then why don't we hear it? Here is Daryl Leonard performing Dear Old Folks Way Down South Back Home in the Moonlight, live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio NoHo. gotta love them old folks. Well, they sure know how to whoop it up.
Yeah, dear old folks.
Dear old folks. Yeah, you know, I wish I would have known. I think I would have brought some spoons to play or something because I wanted to join in. Yeah, a washboard. What is it called? Washboard? Yeah, a saw.
Kitchenware.
Kitchen rail?
Kitchenware.
Where? Oh, kitchenware. Okay.
Yes.
Daryl, what a pleasure. If you want to learn more about Daryl, you could go to daryl.tv. There's all kinds of stuff there that you could learn about him. Daryl is spelled DARRELL.TV. So daryl.tv to learn more about him. But actually, how do we find this little hideaway? The write-off room? Yeah, where it's in Woodland Hills, you said?
It is in Woodland Hills, okay. Yeah. And I can't remember the address.
It's near Topanga Ventura.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, where back down south where the
where the old folks live. Yeah.
What a pleasure to have you all here. Steve Nelson on bass, Doug Hamblin on guitar, Daryl Leonard on trumpet. These were your songs. We know you have so many songs, but thank you for choosing these, actually. That just made it just special and very, very different. Really enjoyed that.
Well, I appreciate being here. Thanks for inviting us.
Great to have you here. Great to have you all. Daryl Leonard, once again, thank you. And a big thank you again to our guest, Emmanuel ETA. And that is our show. Let's thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great. And on behalf of our executive producers, Dorothy Donahue and Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, as ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.